Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. And also the missionary cards are on the back table as well. They will be there until this coming Wednesday. So if you'd like to sign those and sign a note of encouragement in there or something like that, then feel free to do that, and they will be there until Wednesday. Luke chapter 10 is where we're starting here this morning, and I want to read some verses, and then we're going to backtrack just a little bit. But we are going to talk here today about who is neighbor to those in need. It's not asking who your neighbor is. It's saying who is neighbor to those in need. Luke chapter 10, and starting in verse 30, the Bible says this, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now notice here, there's so much to be said about this parable here that Christ is speaking about, but I love the wording there in verse 31. So in verse 30, it talks about this man who had just been beat up by these thieves. He had just been left for dead there. And in verse 31, it says this, and by chance there came there came down a certain priest that way. God doesn't do anything by chance. What is Christ doing here? He's letting them know that there's different ones that pass by this man, and one of them was even a priest. He didn't even stop to help. Even the religious, if you will, walked by this man. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you helped someone in need? Think about it. And I'm not just talking about a family member or a close friend or something like that. I'm talking about a complete stranger. Someone that maybe you've never met before. Someone that many people would walk right by or do what some of these did and pass by on the other side. Can you see this man walking down there, and maybe up on the way, he's walking down this side of the road, and he sees that there's a man laying over here in the ditch, and rather than just walking down here, what's he do? He gets as far over here as he can and walks by that man. He walked by on the other side. He said, I don't even want to be close to him, let alone help him. When's the last time we helped someone? You know, and as you, of course, I grew up in Missouri, and that's quite a bit further south than here. But there is a word that is known for when you're nice to someone. It's called being neighborly. When's the last time you were neighborly to someone? When's the last time someone was neighborly to you? You know, when someone's nice to us, we remember it, don't we? We remember that person helped me. That person came out of their way and did something to help me. And we love when someone does that. It makes us feel good. But yet, many times we walk right by someone. Here in this parable here, the Lord Jesus was asked the question, or he asked the question this. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now I want you to look at verse 25 to 27. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Notice in verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Notice Jesus says, asked him, well, what's the law say? So you want eternal life, you want to go to heaven, so what does the law say? And this man, as eloquent as he can, of course, he was a man of good speech there, he was a lawyer, and he starts saying exactly what the law says, and no doubt puffing his chest out a little bit. Well, I know exactly what the law says, and Jesus says, okay, if you do all of those things, now notice here, he's not teaching a work salvation here. What he's doing here is he's backing this man into a corner. He says, okay, if you can do everything that the law says without fail, never breaking the law, he says, thou livest. So the man says this. And in and of himself, he says, well, I can do that. So he asked Christ the question, well, and who's my neighbor? Because I'll help them. If that's all I have to do, then yes, I'll help my neighbor. You just point me in the right direction. And Jesus Christ says, let me tell you a parable. And he starts talking about this man that was beat up. And he starts talking about the one that walked by him. And a little bit later on, he starts talking about this man that went out of his way. He got off of his beast. He paid his money for this man to be taken care of. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling him was this: there's no way you can go to heaven without Christ, because there's no way you can keep anything without Christ. You need Christ. He says, it has to go through him. In this passage here, we read this word lawyer here, and this can refer to a man as a scribe, an authority in the Old Testament law. The Bible says, notice that he came up there and he was speaking to Christ in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. And we see that Satan tempted Christ as well, amen. How did Christ answer him? He said, as it is written. He said, it is written. This man wanted to ask Christ the question, hoping to embarrass the Lord or to discredit him or something like that. But the Lord answered him, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Jesus Christ, of course, is the only perfect one. Each and every one of us have sinned against God. We've broken the law. People say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Okay, so if the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, how many does that mean? That means there's none righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who ever walked the face of the earth that has not sinned. He's the only one that lived but did not sin. Therefore, everyone else is on their way to hell. Everyone. The Lord knew that anyone who has ever lived, they've done those things. No one has ever kept the law except the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see him, we see this man ask the question, and who is my neighbor? And as Christ concludes this parable, notice he does not ask the same question. If you read it, do not read it carefully, it's going to sound like the same question. But notice here in verse 29, it says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And then notice down in the end of verse, let me find it here. And he took care of him. Look at verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him? The Lord Jesus Christ has not asked who your neighbor is. The Lord Jesus Christ is asking, who are you being neighborly to? That's what he's asking. This man says, well, who's my neighbor then? Everyone's our neighbor. But who are we going to treat with the love of Christ? It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter what they have to give back to us. You know, there's all of these Hollywood stars and all of that. And can I tell you this? There's people lining up to do things for these people, not because they love them, but because they love what they have. Well, if I can do something nice for them, then maybe they'll send a check my way. That's not what this is about here. Christ does not ask who our neighbor is. No, our neighbor is everyone. He says, but who are you being neighborly to? He turned the question around. He did not ask the man who is our neighbor. He asked him, but who are we going to care for? Who showed compassion? Notice here the injury of the traveler. Look at verse 30 here. Notice in Jesus answering, he said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. He starts talking about some injuries here. See this parable and this this man here. I want you to dig into your imagination here and look at this man as representing the human race. Think about this man. This man is coming down this road here, and thieves overtook him. They robbed him. They beat him there. They left him half dead, and they stole him, stole his raiment and all of that, and they left him there. They left him there to die. Now think about this in the context of this world here. Think about how mankind is. Mankind is supposed to be living for Christ. That's what mankind is supposed to do. Only through the grace of God, though, as we tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're to trust Christ as their personal Savior, they're to go on living for Christ. There is so much peace that mankind is supposed to have. But what has happened with that peace? Well, the world has beat them up and left them on the side of the road, and they're laying there hopeless, waiting for someone to come by and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can help them. They're waiting for someone. But even though they're laying there in the ditch, hopeless, laying there half dead, many believers will walk by on the other side and not even give them any time. Shouldn't be that way. This man, he fell among thieves. Of course, we know that the Bible says that the devil is a liar and a murderer. We can clearly see a picture of the fall of man in the sinful condition here with this man laying there. And he's been robbed. He's been wounded. He's been left for dead. And notice here the Bible says that leaving him half dead. If you're half dead, was he going to live or was he going to die? Well, it depends on if someone helps him or not. This quote here, half dead, does not mean that this man was on his last breath, but it means this: he's getting worse and worse and worse. He couldn't help himself. He could live, but only if someone would help him. Many times we walk by people and we think this: well, someone ought to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, someone should. As someone as us. Each and every one of us had people many times. I've heard this: well, the pastor should go tell them about the Lord. I'd love to. But God has people in our personal path for a reason. It's not so that we can go tell someone to go tell them about the Lord. It's so that we can tell them about the Lord. Amen. Each and every one of us. They're laying there half dead. Spiritually speaking, they're going to die and go to hell. We must tell them. They need someone to tell them here. What was going to happen to this man? That would depend on the response of the person who came along and found him. You know, this world, they're going to die in their sinful state unless we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Will they be saved and forgiven? Will they be made free and alive in God, or are they going to die? Well, our responsibility is to go to them. There's many churches that say, well, if they want to come in here, then we'll tell them about the gospel. But you know, when people are physically laying there half dead, what do they need? They need someone to take them to the hospital. Why? Because that's where they can get help. We need to take them to Jesus Christ so that they can get the spiritual help that they need. Why does a hospital have an ambulance? Yes, people can walk in and people can get the help they need, but they have the ambulance to get the people there that cannot get there on their own. We have everything that people need in the Word of God. This world needs to know what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. But are we going to give it to them? Bible tells us there in that verse I read earlier, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Can you see this man as he's laying there? No doubt he's laying there half dead, no doubt he can't move. He's in so much pain. He's got all of these things that have happened to him. These men have beat him up and left him there, and no doubt he's laying there on the side of the road, and he's thinking to himself, if someone doesn't come down this road, I'm not going to get any help. And can you see him there, maybe with his eyes just barely cracked open, and he's laying there looking down the road, and all of a sudden he starts seeing this man walking down the road. And can you see him thinking to himself, there's someone that's going to come and help me. I need help, and here comes someone. As the man gets closer and closer and closer, this man could be thinking to himself, finally, this man, he's getting closer and he's getting closer, and no doubt this man, he may be laying there, and all he can get out is a groan. And he says, wait a second, that man looks like a priest. I'm going to get some help. It's a religious man. This man here, he's going to help me. And then all of a sudden, he sees that priest, and the priest looks over the side of the road and sees him there. And the priest starts walking the opposite direction. That man's hope just walked away. When we walk by someone that is unsaved, and we don't show them the love of Christ, and we walk away, their hope just walked away. What if someone walked away from us when we were in a sinful state, apart from God, on our way to hell? That's the hope that we needed. And they walked away. This traveler was injured here. His hope was coming, but he passed on the other side of the road. This says that this man, of course, or this road here, it goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a old Roman highway, if you will. It's rocky. It's filled with caves and things like that. Maybe this priest thought that, well, if they beat him up and they robbed him and they left him half dead, if I go to help him, how do I know that these men aren't just sitting there waiting for someone to stop by so they can beat me up too? But rather than offering a little bit of help, he says, I'll just go the other way. Maybe he thought to himself, that man's going to die anyway. Why do I need to help him? And if we were to see someone laying half dead on the side of the highway, I would venture to say that every single one of us would stop and do what we could to help. We have a 3-digit number we call on our phone, 911. We may not be able to get them into our vehicle. We may not be able to help them in the way that they need it. But guess what? We can call someone who can come and help them. We can do our part to get someone there to help them. But we would make the phone call. But yet when it comes to people who are dying and going to hell, many times we see them laying there half dead on the side of the road and we say, I'm not taking that chance. And they walk away. That's what happened here. Look at verse 32. Notice, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So notice what's going on here. There came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So you've got this priest, and he's walking by, and notice, when he sees the man, he passes by on the other side. And then it says the Levite here. Notice it doesn't just say when he saw him. It says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at that at the place, came and looked on him. So you've got this man who's laying half dead. You've got the priest that sees him on up there in the distance and walks away. You've got this other man, this Levite. He walks up there and he looks at him. Now think about this man. His only hope has walked away, and now he sees somebody else coming. And this man, he doesn't just look over on the side and walk the other way. No, this man walked all the way up to him. And as he walks all the way up to him, can you see this man that's laying there half dead saying, this man's actually coming. He's not passing by on the other side. He's walking up to me now. And as he gets there and he looks over top of him, I just think of this man saying, this is my hope. This is the man that's going to help me. The man looks and walks away. How many times are we right there with someone who is unsaved? We're looking on them. We're right there. But we talk about politics and sports and never bring up the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not just we're walking by and we see some man sitting over on the side and obviously he's a drunkard or obviously he's addicted to drugs or something and we see him over there and we walk by over here. No, this is when we walk up to someone, we're talking to someone, and so many times our conversations with unbelievers are filled with everything except for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. We need to be helping people. Giving them what they need. You know, this man here, this religious leader who was expected to be the kind of person who would help, no doubt he thought, if I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, I have to know who my neighbor is, this man that we are talking about that asked the Lord this question. So he says, well, why don't you tell me? Trying to trap the Lord there and trying to justify himself. And Jesus told this man the story of the priest passing by, the priest and the one that came and stood. Of course, in the Old Testament, the priest was the one who stood between God and man for the people. He did not care. And then you got the Levite who had witnessed sacrifices and offerings and all of those things. He looked upon the man and he didn't care. Both of these men had positions, didn't they? But neither one showed the love of Christ. Many times we're more worried about what people think about us than what God thinks about us. These men had the eyes of men on them. This is a priest and this is a Levite. Men were looking to them. They're the ones that should be giving help. And they walked by. They had a position, but they had no compassion. And sadly, that's where a lot of believers are. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me compassion. Lord, help me to love people. Notice also the involvement of the Samaritan here. In this passage here, the Lord mentioned that the Samaritan, and of course, as he's speaking to this man here in verse 25, notice, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Notice, this is a man here. This man is a Jew. This man is the one who is the chosen people of Israel. God's chosen people here. Of course, the Jews hated the Samaritans. Samaritans hated the Jews. You know, as we've been studying through the book of Hosea, we've talked about the northern and the southern kingdom, and we've talked about different ones being taken captive and all of that. But when the northern kingdom was carried captive, they fell to the Assyrian Empire. Some were left behind because they were weak. And what happened to those? Well, they married Gentiles. So you've got these Jews that married these Gentiles, and out of that came the Samaritans. So when the Jews look at the Samaritans, they say, well, you're not real Jews. You may have a Jewish father or a Jewish mother, but you do not have, both of your parents are not Jewish. So they were disowned. This whole land here was filled with a mixed race, if you will. The Lord said to this lawyer here, notice in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. So in the context of this scripture, this is a Jew that's laying on the side of the road. There is a man that's laying here that had no hope. He was dead, or he was half dead. He was going to die if someone didn't help him. His own priest walked by and did not help him. His own friends walked by and didn't help him. But here comes a Samaritan. Here comes a man that hated the Jews and that the Jews hated. Here he comes. He's walking down the road, and notice here is Christ is speaking. Can you see this Jewish man's face? Now he's talking about a Jew laying there in the ditch there on the side of the road. And Christ is telling this man, well, a priest came by. His own leader came by and didn't help him. His own friend came by and didn't help him. He said, but then there was another man that walked by. No doubt this man was thinking of maybe another scribe or something like that. Another Jewish man is going to come and help this man. And Christ says, but a Samaritan came that way. Anytime you mentioned the Samaritans to the Jews, it was like pouring salt on a wound. They didn't even like to talk about them. Remember in the scriptures, when it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he must needs go through Samaria. His disciples didn't want him to go through Samaria. They didn't even want to cross through there. The Jews would take the long way around so that they didn't even have to walk through the land of these people. But here comes a Samaritan. Samaritan comes and he's going to help this man. He's the only one who cared about this man. Even though he was hated, he was despised by the man who was wounded, he cared for him. This here is a picture of our Savior. Remember, we talked about the man who is wounded here in the ditch there. That's a picture, that can be a picture of this world and how they're lost. They're just beat up. They have no hope there. Someone needs to come and tell them about our Savior. Well, what happens? Well, the religious men just walk right by him. But then you've got this Samaritan, the one that is hated by the man that's in the ditch. Samaritan's a picture of Christ. Think about who he's coming to help. He's coming to help someone that's going to blaspheme his name, that hates him, that's going to hang him on the cross of Calvary. But he's going to help him. Why? Because he had compassion. He had compassion on this man. He had compassion for someone who had no feeling or compassion or love for him, verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and cared for him. Now notice what's going on here. What did the first man do? He walked by on the other side of the road when he saw him. What did the second man do? He walked up, he looked at him, and he still walked away. But then we've got this man who doesn't only walk over there to give him a little bit of help, but he starts caring for him. He's binding up his wound. He's pouring in the oil and wine to clean his wounds there. He's doing these things to help this man, putting him on his own beast. Now think about this. This beast here was not going to carry two men, especially when one is that wounded. This man's going to be laying upon this beast. And no doubt there was a long road to travel. And what's he do? He takes this wounded man and he puts him on his beast and he says this, I'll walk the rest of the way because this man needs some help. This man was willing to go out of his way, completely out of his way, help a man that hated him. Before this man was beat up, if he saw this same Samaritan on the side of the road, he probably would have spat on him on the way by. But that's not what the Samaritan did. Why is that? Because he had compassion. Because there was some hope that was within inside that cared for that man. Each and every one of us as believers, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you have someone that lives on the inside of you that cares about sinners. And every time we walk by them, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to give them a track. You tell them about the Lord. You show some compassion there. When we walk by, we're no better than that priest and that Levite that walked by. Well, I was nice to them. But did you do what God wanted you to do? Did you give them what they needed? That Levite walked over to him. You could say, well, he gave him more hope than the other guy did. The other guy just walked off on the side. Yes, this man was right there with him. But he didn't give him what he needed. Notice the man said, well, who is my neighbor? He was trying to justify himself and said, well, what about eternal life? And the Lord said this, well, what about the law? What's the law say? Man said, if I do everything the law says, then I'm going to have eternal life. And the Lord says, you're right. They both knew that the lawyer did not do everything that was required. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible to do that, because all have sinned. And man, in an attempt to justify himself, he says this, well, who's my neighbor? Because the truth is, our neighbor is anyone that's in need. Notice here, the Lord asked, well, who was a neighbor to that man? He was asking this, who cared for that man? Who was the one who was neighborly to him? The one who walked by was not neighborly on the other side of the road. The one that just walked up and looked at him, he was not neighborly. Is this the one who cared for him? No. But the Samaritan came. And the Samaritan was neighborly. The Samaritan cared for this man. And as we follow this story down here, notice there was no length at which this man was unwilling to go. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil and wine. He placed him on his own beast, put his own self out, and had to walk the rest of this way here. This man had a beast for a reason. Why is that? Because he didn't want to walk. But yet he said, I'll walk if it means this man gets help. And then he takes him to the inn. Gets him in a room there, sets up someone to care for him, gives him some money and says this, anything else you spend. Notice he didn't put a cap on that. He said, anything else that you spend to care for this man, just keep record of it, and when I come, I'm going to pay for that. I believe this man was going to pay whatever it was, because he knew that's what he was supposed to do. Many times we put a cap on things. Well, Lord, I'll tell them about Jesus as long as they don't curse me out. I'll tell them about Jesus as long as they don't slam the door in my face. As long as they don't tell me to get off their property. Heard stories of people going out soul winning and being confronted at gunpoint. I don't want to hear about this Jesus. It'd be easy for us to say, well, find them. You don't want to hear about him, then just die and go to hell. That's what our flesh wants to say. And time after time, if we listen to our flesh, we're walking by on the other side. Walking by. Meanwhile, there's a Savior that's living within us that says, I care for that person. Go tell them. Go help them. Go and give them what they need. No matter the person, we should be neighborly. We should show compassion to them because we should be like Christ. A few years ago, I guess it's been maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, me and my wife were heading to a basketball game over in Maryland around Baltimore area, a Christian school basketball game, and driving down the road and saw a car with a flat tire, drove on by, get on down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, go help that woman. I'll be late for the basketball game. Actually, we were going early because I wanted to go to Bass Pro first. I wanted to make sure I could get to Bass Pro for the basketball game, because that's important. I keep driving. Get a few miles down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to stop and help that woman. I get all the way down to 301. Now, if you are familiar with that area there, where we were there, we were just outside of Sudlersville. So there's a pretty good stretch there. So get to 301, get all the way there, and I looked at my wife and I said, Holy Spirit told me to go back and help that one. She said, then go help her. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. So I turn around, I go back and I help this woman. She had a flat tire. She didn't have she couldn't get a hold of anybody to help her. I said, okay, I'm going to get this flat tire out. And I told the lady this. I said, look, I said, I'm going to help you get the spare tire on and all of that. I said, and as soon as we get the spare tire on, I said, I got something I want to give you. Give her a track, lead her through that and all. So I get the spare tire and get it out of her trunk, and her trunk was full of junk. I mean, just full. So I'm digging all this stuff out. Get the tire, the donut out, get it put on there. Got one of those little jacks that, you know, you got to turn. Takes forever, you know. I'm wanting to get the Bass Pro, okay? So I'm turning this thing. Finally, get it off the jack, and I look, and the spare tire is all but flat. I mean, it's off, the rim's off the road by just a little bit. And I said, "Man, where are you? Where are you trying to go?" "I'm trying to get to Dover." "Of course you are. I just came from Dover." I said, "Okay, here's what we'll do." I said, "I'm going to follow you up to Hartley. There's a tire shop there. And I'll follow you there, and they'll get you some air in your donut, and I'll get you to Dover." He says, "Okay." Well, I stood there on the side of the road, and I walked to the car and grabbed my New Testament, grabbed the track, walked to the side of the road, led this woman to the Lord on the side of the road. And every single time to this day, every single time when the Holy Spirit says, "You need to help that person," you know what I don't hear? I don't hear, "You need to help that person." I think of that woman on the side of the road. I think that woman is on her way to heaven simply because I listened to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that because that's convicting to me. Because I drove by this woman. It was not even driving by on the other side of the road. I was there looking at the situation. I knew there was a flat tire. I knew this woman needed help. And I kept driving. But there's people out there that, myself included, we pass by over and over and over again that need the Lord. We get to this tire shop. I'll finish the story and I'll be done here. We get to the tire shop. Walk up there. Door's locked. I said, "Lord, this is persecution of the saints here. I'm trying to get the Bass Pro." I said, "All right, I'm going to have to follow you to Royal Farms all the way almost to Dover, and I'll put some air in the tire." She's like, "Okay." Yeah, she's happy about this. Amen. So I go to get in the car, and I hear this noise from behind the tire shop. I said, "There's somebody here. There's some hope here." So I walk over, and I see the fence is cracked open just a little bit, and I see this man working back there. So I said, "Excuse me," and I start walking over to him and tell him the situation. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I can put air in her tire, no problem." It's like, "Thank you, Lord." Put air in her tire and all that, and she thanks me for helping her, and, you know, she goes on her way there. And, you know, she lived two blocks from where me and my wife lived in Dope. Two blocks. We're 40 minutes away at that point. I was literally her neighbor. She lived right there. But I was passing by. Each and every one of us as believers need to understand that we pass by people over and over and over again that the Holy Spirit says they need